you that you are our living hope. Our scripture affirmation today comes from the book of Jonah, a very famous book, the minor prophets, and we'll start at Jonah 1:15. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights.
Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly,
and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple.
The waters compassed thee about, even to the soul. The depth flows me round about, the leaves were wrapped about my head.
I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God.
When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came into thee, into thy holy temple. They will preserve my integrities, forsake their own mercy.
But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord.
And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah on the dry land.
Oh, Father, we praise you and we thank you for the opportunity to come together and worship you, for the opportunity to be in your presence corporately together. We ask that you would manifest yourself in this place in such a way that we are aware that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of all creation is here with us, changing us, making us, helping us. And Lord, make no mistake, we need your help. Without you, we can do nothing. But we believe that you are here, and we are grateful. So now, Lord, speak, help us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Life moving us today. You know, we are supposed to be people who out of our bellies are rivers of living water flowing, and they're flowing in between us, and we're sustaining each other. We're helping each other live this life because the spirit of life, the spirit of God is moving in, through, and around us, and here we are lost in a flood of God's goodness. Oh, dear Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we just ask that this day we would experience your goodness, that this day we would be floating on a sea of your movement, that this day we would have the wind of your breath blowing us into a life that is filled with the presence of the living God. We want you. We need you. We desire you. You are good. And we're thankful that you have allowed us to be a part of the river of life. Thank you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Today we get to do one of those things that when we were kids was such an interesting story. The story of Jonah is just an amazing thing. The story of Jonah is this crazy thing, and it was always interesting, but you know, when you begin to really study it, you go, wow, this there's a lot to this thing, and hopefully we'll be able to unearth some of that so we might be able to learn how in the world does Jonah and a big fish relate to us. You see, the Word of God is quick and powerful. It's alive, you know. But how is it going to shape us today? So expect to be changed today, because this is talking about us. We'll start at verse 1 of Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." So Jonah was a prophet. He was already a prophet when this story started. It's like we delve down into the middle of his life. This is, you know, he had been going along and he had been a prophet and people respected him and knew him and all of that. And he was there and he had been saying all these great things. And then God comes to him and says, "Arise." You know, what would you do if in the middle of the day you just, God came and said, "Arise," you know? It's like, whoa, that would be an amazing thing. And here, God speaks clearly to Jonah. Seven times in this book, the word of the Lord came to Jonah. The word of the Lord, the word of the Lord. This was serious. This was definite. This is a real part of history. And he says, "Arise and go to Nineveh." Get up and go to Nineveh. Why would that be a big deal to the prophet? He had a successful career so far. Everything was going well so far. And he says, "Arise, get up, and go to Nineveh." Nineveh, that great Assyrian city, Nineveh, that very large city, probably 250,000 people. This was a big city. It took days just to walk across the entire city. Arise, go to this place that some had prophesied would be the place that would do true harm to Israel. Go to this place where it was going to be really, really tough. These people were not nice people. Arise, go to East Cleveland. Arise, go to Chicago. Arise, go to this place where people are cruel and harsh and difficult. And I'm sorry, East Cleveland and Chicago, you're not any more difficult than... Well, maybe you are. But anyway, you know, so there's this challenge going on here. And he says, go to this place that is scary and is definitely an enemy of your people. Go there. Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. You've got to walk up into the city and say, "Y'all are messed up." You've got to walk into the city and say, "You are not right. God is saying that you are going to be destroyed. You can't live this way and be right. Arise, go right into the middle of the city and tell them about themselves. For their wickedness has come before me." There's wickedness all around us today. Have you noticed that? There's some real wickedness going on, and it's just amazing. We see things that are happening that would have shocked us just a few years ago are everyday things. We see things that make you shake your head. And here, these things are going on, and he's supposed to go tell them about it. So what did Jonah do? This is a prophet of God, a man identified as a prophet of God. You know, you are identified, many of you, as Christians. You are identified as a royal priesthood. You are identified as people who are to follow God at whatever he says as soon as he says it. Jonah rose up to flee. Well, wait a minute. He said, rise up and go. And Jonah rose up and fled. Now, if I understand the geography of this thing, the city he was supposed to go is 500 miles that way, and he got a ship to go 4,000 miles that way. Somehow that doesn't fit. Do we think that when we are called of God, do you think when you've been chosen to do something, that when he says go, you actually have a choice? See, one of the problems with our brand of Christianity today is we think that we have signed on to something that's, well, I'll do it if I want to, and I won't do it if I don't want to. I don't know if I really, you know, I don't feel like being very Christian today. I don't feel like being obedient. I know what the word says, but I want to do this thing. The word clearly came to this man, and he did the opposite of what God said. Can you actually imagine that one of us would do the opposite of what we know is right to do? Can you imagine that one of us, no, not one of us, would actually decide that God said this, and we're sure that he actually said this. This is not a mistake. It's clear, so we're going to do something else. Maybe you need to look at yourself today. How do you respond when the word of the Lord comes to you? How do you respond when the word speaks to you? So he found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare thereof. It even cost him to be disobedient. And went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. Let me see. How do I hide from the Lord? Maybe I'll go up to heaven and hide in a corner. No, that won't work. That won't work. Maybe I'll go all the way down to hell and maybe I can hide there. No. That won't work. You know, Jonah knew all that, yet he tried to hide anyway. Maybe in this case, going from the presence of the Lord just simply meant, I'm going to be disobedient. You want to stop feeling God in your life? You want to stop being aware of God? Just be disobedient for a little bit. If you're disobedient for a little bit, you'll wonder, where is he? Where's God? I can't feel him. I can't see him. I can't hear him. Maybe it's because you haven't done the last thing you did here. Disobedience will make you feel like God is not present any longer. It's nice for us to be here in this place where we should be sure God is every week, every time we come together, every time God's people come together, we should have a sense of the very presence of the living God, because he's in you and he's in you and he's in you and he's in you. How in the world could we be together and not feel him and not sense his presence? Because God is in us. We should feel him. We should know him. But disobedience will veil that off from you. You can be here, but you don't feel it. You can be here, but there's an emptiness. Verse 4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea. Troubles come. And there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. It felt like life was going to be torn apart. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship and he lay and was fast asleep. Now, wait a minute. Jonah, the ship is tossing and turning. The wind is raging all around. Everybody around you is scared, but you're so used to the mess around you that you are not bothered. Could we as Christians who know that we know God be so used to all of the horror that's going on around us that we are sleeping in the midst of all of the pain? Could we be sleeping in the midst of all of the pain because we're being disobedient and we don't give a rip and we don't want to do anything about it? Could it be that we're satisfied not to deal with it? Could we see this stuff and we go, ooh, let me just shut my door, close my eyes, turn my head, stay in my little enclave, just hide away from it, and I could just relax in the midst of it. This, oh my goodness, this life is just wearing me out. Let me go take a nap. People are hurting all around you. People are in pain all around you. Why are you sleeping, O sleeper? Why is it setting okay with you? Why is it that your friends and your family could be dying and go to hell and you aren't wondering, Lord, won't you help? Won't you do something? Help, Lord, we need you. What can I say? What can I do? Help me to help, Lord. Help it to be different. There are people that are dying. They're being washed away. How can I sleep? So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, now sometimes the world comes to us. He says, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Why are you sleeping? How can you do this? How can you relax in all of this mess? Arise, call upon thy God. The world is looking for someone to make a difference. You can be the difference maker. Don't you know you can make a difference? Don't you know that what you say, that what you do, that where you are makes a difference? How you behave makes a difference? You don't have to just go take a nap. Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. Oh, do something. Do something that we don't perish. Do something. Step down into the mess of this world and do something. Are you sharing your faith? Are you sharing that you have an answer? Are you sharing that in spite of all of the circumstances, you might not be able to change circumstances, but you can change the person's reaction to the circumstances. You can help them to have a peace that passes all understanding. You can make a difference Won't you make a difference? Won't you do something? And they said, every one of his to his fellow, come, let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. The world's trying to figure it out. Why is it like this? You know, Christian, it used to be to be a Christian in the United States, especially in this part of the country, was like this thing that, oh, they're the good ones. They're the good people. They won't harm you. They bring good to society. They create hospitals and orphanages and they care for the poor and the elderly and the widow and the orphan, and they just do so much. And we got to figure out why this thing isn't working. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And everybody, I could see them, you know, after they've done this thing, they all, their heads slowly turning and saying, "You, you told us some things about you. What's going on here?" Then said they unto him, "Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. Why is it like this? Why is it going on this way? What's your job? What's your occupation? What are you supposed to be doing? And where'd you come from? And what's your country? And of what people art thou? Who are you? Tell us something. People want to know who you really are. Does your life have any impact? What's going on here? This is scary." And he said unto them, "I am in Hebrew. I'm one of those people that comes from Abraham. I'm one of those people that the Lord speaks to. I'm a Hebrew. And I fear the Lord." That's who I'm supposed to be obeying. I'm supposed to be obeying Jehovah. That's what I claim. I am a prophet. The God of heaven is Jehovah. He's the one who made the sea and the dry land. And I say that I believe him. I say that I fear him. That's who I am. Now, this astounded the sailors. This is the guy who was sleeping in the bottom of the boat. They believe he must believe something because he's too relaxed. He's too relaxed for what's going on here. And then the men were exceedingly afraid and said unto him, "Why hast thou done this?" Why would you be so stupid to act this way? What did we do to you? Take your money back. Go. "Why hast thou done this?" For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord. He didn't want to hear from God. You know, some of us don't want to hear from God. Tell the truth. Because you got a feeling of what he's going to say about how you're living. Some of us really don't want to hear from God because you think he has an opinion that is different than yours. Some of us really don't want to hear from God because we've seen what his word says and, well, that's not the way we want to go. We would rather be our own God. For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. Then said they unto him, "What shall we do unto thee that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. What should we do? How can we deal with this situation? Because this is all going on because you are being disobedient." See, we don't take that seriously enough here as Christians. Could it be that society is so messed up because we're so messed up? Could it be that it's not so much what they think and how they're thinking about life? Could it be it's how we're thinking about life, about our relationship to God? We're the ones who says we've got the God of both the sea and the land. We've got the one who's in charge of everything. He's the creator of everything. We're the one to say that we're in connection with him. We can go to him, ask for what we will, and it will happen. Could it be it's our fault? They don't know any better. They don't know their right hand from their left. They don't know the King of Kings. They don't know the Lord of Lords. They don't have a relationship with him, but we are supposed to have a relationship with him. And so Jonah says, it's my fault. Just take me and cast me forth into the sea, so the sea shall be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Just get rid of me. Get me out of your way. But the world looked at him and said, whoa, wait a minute, man. We can't do that. We're going to try some other solutions here. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land. But finally, they said they could not, for the sea roared and was tempestuous against them. And they even said, wait a minute, maybe if we just turn to the Lord for a moment. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord. Lord, we're coming to you and we're begging you, let us not perish for this man's life. Let us not perish because he's not been doing his job. We didn't know. We didn't understand. Let us not perish. And lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. You know, we're looking around seeing the craziness of this world. We're looking around and seeing the wonders of this world. And we realize that we're not in charge. You are. You've created everything. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. You've done it all. We get that, O Lord. So this isn't our fault. But we will do what the man of God said. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea. And the sea ceased from her raging. You know, they were freaked out before, but they throw a guy overboard and immediately everything is still. The storm is over. And it's like, wow. So now they're in awe. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly. When the world sees God doing something in your life, when there is a change in you, a real change in you, the world is in awe. They're so in awe that they become God-fearers. They feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. I'm surrendering, Lord. We give it up to you because we've seen who you are and what you've done, and we believe. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Sometimes we forget that we serve a sovereign God. And all of this stuff is just being readied for us to deal with and to deal with us. But you notice even fish are obedient to God. Yet his people, think about that. fish. Eat that thing. But I don't like that. I eat plankton. Eat that. No, the fish didn't go the other way. The fish opened its mouth. When God speaks to you, what do you do? Do you go the other way? Or do you go where he sends you? Do what he says do. So he's there 3 days, 3 nights. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. He waits 3 days and 3 nights to get serious about his prayer. Sometimes, how bad off do we have to be before we begin to pray? Do we have to be in the midst of the sea, almost dead in a dark, dark place, smelling foul and wondering, when am I going to just drown? When am I going to die? You know, there's some big things out there that could swallow us whole and take us down. But and we're in this dark place, but we're not completely finished, but we feel like we are. Look at this story. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord. Finally, I'm crying to God, and he heard me out of the belly of hell. I felt like I was in the belly of hell. I'm in darkness. I'm in a horrible place, and everything about this life smells. Out of the belly of hell I cried, I, and thou heardest my voice. But God heard him. God heard him. For thou hast cast me into the deep in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. He realizes, even though it's the sailors that tossed him in, he says, no, it was God that tossed me in. God allowed me to be in this situation. God has caused me to do this. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. He even believed that if he would turn to God, if he would say, God, help me, that God would help him. He had the right theology. He was just being disobedient. And the waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me around. Weeds wrapped about my head. This is yucky. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. He didn't think he was ever going to get out of it. You know, sometimes we feel like the situation that we're in, we're never going to get out. We feel like we're never going to be freed from this. We're never going to get it. He went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. But then he begins to think, and he says, yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption. Oh, Lord, my God. He's recognizing that, you know, I've been in this mess for a good while, and yet you've kept me. You want me to see something. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities, those that listen to the mess of this world, those that listen to thinking that they can get away from God, that they can hide from God, those that are foolish, those that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. God wants to give you mercy. But sometimes we run away from the mercy that God provides for us. But you can change that right now. But I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. We give the sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. We sing the sacrifice of praise unto the house of the Lord. We offer up to you thanksgiving. Lord, I am so thankful that I can come boldly to the throne of grace to find mercy and grace in time of need. I'm so thankful, Lord, that if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you will save me too, that you will keep me too, that you will never leave me nor forsake me. And even out of the pain of this thing that I find myself in, even out of this dislocated place, even out of these difficulties, I can come to you. And it takes something of me. It takes me confessing that I need you. It takes me confessing that I'm in a mess, at least partially of my own making. I will pay that I have vowed. I will do what I said I would do. Remember, Christian, the things that you said you would do. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. And the Lord has spoken into your situation, and he spit you out into a place. Will you obey him now? Will you obey him now? What more does he have to do? He's done so much for you already. So many times when you were crushed, so many times when you were in this situation that you find yourself in, he has rescued you. So many times he's given you hope. And this day, he's saying to you, confess with your mouth, agree with him about you, about your situation, and about him. Today is the day. Today is the day. Would you bow your head with me? You might want to pray this prayer. Father, some days I feel like I've been vomited up on the shore. Some days I hurt. Some days I'm tired. Some days I feel hopeless. Some days. But Lord, this day, I say, Jesus Christ is Lord. And without reservation, I surrender all that I am so that I might experience all that you are. This day, change me. You said if I would come to you, you would not cast me out. So thank you. I believe you. And now let the whole world know that I am yours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If God is working in your life today, while these guys are singing, feel free to come to the altar. In just a moment, we're not going to delay very long. In just a moment, we're going to take the Lord's Supper. And those that believe Jesus Christ is Lord, those who have been changed by him and are willing to identify with him in baptism, should share with us, because you're a part of the family. So the altar is open to you now.